Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. I was going to say amen when you get there, but evidently he's already there. Ephesians chapter 6. Man, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Huh? Praise God. I've got our daughter in from Nashville. She come in to see us. Taylor's here. Praise the Lord. Such a great weekend, isn't it? You know, we got our tithe box over there, guys. I know a lot of people come in and out after we take our tithe up, but we do want to make sure that you're still able to bless the Lord with your gifts. And so if you missed that, guys, on the way in or the way out, there is a box right there. You guys are definitely, you know, I appreciate y'all. Y'all are definitely the most generous church I know. Amen? Amen? And I'm saying that because, guys, I know I mentioned it earlier. Maybe some of you are here, maybe some of you weren't. But we got rezoned Monday. We got the green light to build a church. Amen. I mean, like, we're just getting started. So next week is our 3-year anniversary. Say amen, church. Come on. September the 11th is actually our 3-year anniversary as a church. But the 7th, next Sunday, will be our anniversary service, okay? Amen. Come on, somebody. And I just want you to know what God has done in 3 years is nothing compared to what he's going to do over the next 3 years, y'all. Amen. Hey, real quick, there was a set of car keys that was found in the ladies' restroom. If you have a set of car keys and you're missing them that has Jellystone Park and it has a Yogi Bear keychain on it, let me see your hand. Who's that? Somebody right here, Big Mike has got your keys right here. This gentleman at the door, if that's you, just wait till after service. He's got your keys, so amen. Amen. It was a Yellowstone, Jellystone, Yogi Bear keychain. Amen. Ryan, you sure that wasn't yours? No? He's like, he'd have a soldier on his. He'd have the armor of God. Everybody say the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all ready? No, y'all ready? Yeah. Hey, I want to thank you guys. You guys are amazing. We're going to end with a song today too. You know that. So don't leave until you're dismissed. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6. See, last week we started talking about this. We started, everybody say it's spiritual. Spiritual. Everybody say it's spiritual. Spiritual. Thank you. Listen to me. We started this thing. How many of you know, can I say this to you? The bolder we get for Jesus, how many of you know the bolder the attacks are going to be from the enemy? I said the bolder we get for Jesus, you know the bigger the target is on your back. Do y'all know that, church? That the bolder we get, the more that God moves this church into the next phase of where we're going to go. If you don't think the enemy wants to stop this, he wants us to throw in the towel and quit. That's what he wants us to do. The bigger the target's going to be on our back. If the enemy's not attacking you, maybe you're walking too close to him. I said, if the enemy's not attacking you, maybe you're walking too close with him. That's how I know that we're doing what God wants us to do. The enemy wants to shut this down. The enemy wants us to quit. The enemy don't want nobody to be here today. But guess what? When the enemy comes in like a flood, we're going to raise up a standard against him in Jesus' name. Come on, y'all. You know, it was interesting to me last week. I had asked this question. Tell me if you remember it or not. But I asked this question. How many of you feel like you're under a spiritual attack? About 50% of you guys raised your hand. I asked that question last week. How many of you feel like you're under a spiritual attack? About 50% of you raised your hand. I got through with my message last week, and then I asked that same question. It was about 85 or 90% of you. Amen. Raise your hand. Amen. It was about 85 or 90% of you guys that had raised your hand. Can I tell you, the devil is real? I said the devil is real and spiritual attack is real. Amen. Satan would prefer us to walk around and just believe that he's not real so he can continue to wreak havoc in our lives. Amen. If we act like the enemy don't exist, then he can continue to wreak havoc in our lives because you cannot fight an enemy that you cannot see and recognize. Amen. So if you don't think the devil's real, then You can't fight an enemy that you can't recognize. So we know the enemy's real. We know that spiritual attack is real. Amen. But God has given us everything that we need to win. Come on. God has given us the weapons of our warfare. God has given us Ephesians chapter 6. I said, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. God has given us, listen carefully, everything we need to win the war. I'm glad three of you got that. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go. We're going to start off verse 10. Verse 10. Y'all ready? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Everybody say, put on the whole armor of God. I love that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle, listen very carefully, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Everybody say, spiritual warfare is real. Against rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up, everybody say, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then people think the armor ends there. But this next verse is the most important part. Come on, somebody. People think the armor ends there. I want you to understand, this is very important. Everybody say, praying always. That's the most important piece of your armor, son. If you don't pray, that's right. Praying always. Everybody say, praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Being watchful to this end. He said, praying in the Spirit. It's very important. Watch this. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Everybody say, for all the saints. He said, I want you to put on the whole armor of God. The Apostle Paul was arrested. He was incarcerated. He was chained to guards, and he was in prison for months and months and months and months and months. He did years in prison, and at that time, he was chained to Roman soldiers. And on one occasion, it tells us that he was chained to guards, and every 4 hours, they would interchange the guards out. Read in Philippians, they would change the guards in and out every 4 hours, and he was constantly chained to a Roman soldier. Amen? Constantly chained. Look at this. Look at this Roman soldier right here. It's the best we could do. Thank you. He's a stud. My wife was actually going to come up here and dress up. And I said, there's no way, you're way too distracting. She was going to try to be a mannequin for me, but it was never going to work. Guys, I want you to look at this Roman soldier. The Apostle Paul was chained to something very similar for months and months and months and months at a time. He had plenty of time to study these soldiers. He had plenty of time to look at them. He noticed them. He began to start comparing their armor, and what he said is, we need to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And he starts with something. He says, first of all, listen, it's very important. He says, first of all, if you're going to be equipped to defeat the enemy, You have to have this very first piece of armor in your spiritual battle to fight spiritual warfare and to defeat Satan, to defeat his fallen angels, demons, that's what they are. You're going to have this very first piece of armor, Ephesians 6:14. Look at what he says. Put on the belt of truth. He said, put on the belt of truth. Everybody say the belt of truth. I want you to notice this. It's interesting that you have to understand that the belt, listen very carefully, the belt was the piece of armor that secured all of the other Roman soldiers' armor. The belt was the piece that secured all of the other uniform, all the armor, the belt secured every other piece. In other words, I want you to listen to me. If your belt was not secure, none of the other pieces of armor were secure. Amen? And in battle, they would fall off. You would be vulnerable to the enemy. You had to, first of all, he said, you got to put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth is so important, church. It speaks of our character. It speaks of our integrity. Come on, church. Before you get the rest of the armor on, the belt of truth speaks of your character. It speaks of your integrity. It speaks of the fact that you're not living a lie. Come on, somebody. The belt of truth speaks the fact that you're not living a lie, that we're living the truth. I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. The righteousness of God will not work for you if you're a hypocrite. The righteousness of God will not work for you if you are a hypocrite. Do you hear me? Very clearly. You got to have the belt of truth on. The righteousness of God will not work for you if you are a hypocrite and we are not living in the truth. Say amen, church. The other things, I want you to understand, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the helmet of salvation, it won't guard you from the accuser or the attacks of the enemy if you're living a lie. Oh, you got to clap harder than that. None of the other armor will work if you're living a lie. Church, you got to get a hold of it. You want to fight the enemy? You can't live in a lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. None of it will work. None of it will work if you got a guilty conscience. Hallelujah. I want you to understand this. When you put on the belt of truth, it's the truth of God's word. Oh, it's the sword of the spirit. It's the word, but it's also the truth of God's word. I promise you, this is your belt too. This is your belt. Amen. It's the belt of truth. It's the truth of God's word, y'all. It's the truth of God's word. The truth of the fact that you're living a life that has been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That you're not living a lie. You're living a life that has been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your life is grounded in the truth, a display of your honesty, of your character. We're not perfect people, but there ought to be this thing about us that there is an integrity, that there is a little piece of character that we have in our life. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, you have to have something. There's got to be something in your life, church, that this right here is the truth. Hallelujah. The truth that you stand on. Can I tell you, this is spiritual warfare. When you shun the wrong and do the right. You got to understand what I'm telling you. When you shun the wrong and you do the right, that's spiritual warfare. Say amen. That puts power behind your sword. When you shun the wrong and do the right, that puts power behind your sword. That puts a power behind your shield. That puts power behind your breastplate of righteousness. Come on, somebody. When you stand and do the right thing and you shun the wrong things, that puts a power behind who you are and what you stand for. You don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Say amen. Hallelujah. Tell you, when you carry and you're secured to everything, it's the truth. It's the belt of truth. It secures everything. I'm not living a double life. I am what I am. I'm living the truth. Say amen, church. Amen. Come on. We must know the scriptures. I'm telling you. We must know the scriptures. You've got to. The first thing you are to do, put on the belt of truth. Another way of looking at it is you get up every morning and you get into the truth. Amen. Come on, y'all. That's how you put on the belt of truth. You get up every single morning and you get into the truth. Come on. You get into the truth of God's word. That's what you do. You put on the truth. The belt of truth is what secures all the other pieces of armor. So when you go out and you fight that fight during the day, you put on the belt of truth. Listen to me. Do not neglect this book. Do not neglect this book. It's the truth. That's why it's important getting this book every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Get in this book every day. Don't neglect it. It's important. Put on the belt of truth. And then watch how God will bless you and prosper the people who are people of the word. Amen. Come on. Amen. Watch how God will bless you if you become a people of the word. Let's be people of the word. Let's be people who read this book. Come on, church. And it's something, it's a major part. Listen, it was the key piece of armor. If you didn't have that in place, first of all, we know nothing else would stay on. Right? If you didn't have it in place, we must have the belt of truth. Amen. Say amen. Secondly, watch this. He said in verse 14, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, not our righteousness. His righteousness. He said, put on, amen. He said, put on the breastplate of righteousness, not our righteousness. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs all the issues of life. Listen, the vital organs of the Roman soldier were guarded by the breastplate. Amen. Look at it. The Roman soldiers, all of his vital organs were guarded by the breastplate. He said, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it flows every issue of your life. Don't let anybody, listen, don't let anybody get your heart. If you're single, don't give your heart to just anybody. You can fall in love with anybody. Say amen. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. You guard who you are. You guard your beliefs. Guard it. Can I tell you, your heart is the essence of who you are? Your heart, the Bible says all the issues of life flow out of it. Your heart is the very essence of who you are and what God has called you to be. Amen. And you have to place a guard on it. You have to put on the breastplate of his righteousness. Because Satan wants to remind me every day that I'm a failure. Come on. Satan wants me to remind me every day that I'm a nobody. Satan wants to remind me every day that I'm not going to make it. And I'm no one and I'm unworthy. And Satan will remind you every single day. But did we put on our righteousness or his? Listen. Satan wants to remind you every day. But you put on his righteousness. Amen. I love the fact, watch this, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made Christ, look here, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Put that on every day. You put that on every day. That's the righteousness of God. That is the breastplate of righteousness. Through Christ, in him, we become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. That's what you put on every day. That righteousness right there is what you put on every single day. Don't go around trying to live in performance-based religion. Amen. No, put on his righteousness today. I don't have to perform. I've got truth on. This is who I am. I'm wearing the belt of truth. Amen. Come on, somebody. And then I'm putting on his righteousness, not my righteousness. I'm putting on his righteousness. So that when the enemy tries to get a hold of my heart, come on, somebody. So when the enemy tries to grab a hold of your heart, I stand in his righteousness and his righteousness alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. It protects us from inferiority. Do you hear me? You guard your heart. It protects us. It protects us from inferiority. Right? When your heart, it protects you. When you have that heart protected and you have the breastplate of righteousness, you don't feel inferior. Because it's not about who I am. It's about who I've put on. You don't feel inferior. I know I'm inferior. But when I put on his righteousness, it's not about who I am. It's about who I've put on. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 His righteousness. His righteousness. It protects us from immorality. It protects us from immorality. It protects us when you have his righteousness on. It protects you from going off the rails. Come on, somebody. It protects you from going crazy and going off the rails. It protects you from living in the flesh and just doing whatever you want to do. Some of y'all need to hear this. It protects you from going off the rails and just living however you want and doing whatever you want to do. Jesus is our righteousness. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on. Jesus is our righteousness. Thank him for it. Let's thank him this morning right now. Thank you for your righteousness. It's not about who I am. It's about who I've put on. Come on, church. Ephesians 6:15. I want you to listen to this. Then he says this in Ephesians 6:15. He says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, you can't really see this guy's feet too much up here probably, but he's got some Air Romans on or something. You can't really see his feet too much, but play along with me. Amen. He said, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. The Roman soldier had his foot gear, and it was to protect his feet. I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you're in the military or you're great generals or whatever, they understood that there are two things. Listen, there are two things that are vital if an army is going to move, if an army is going to advance and take ground. There are two things that are most vital. Number one, it's food. And number two, it's feet. If the food ain't there and you don't have the food source and the feet are not covered and taken care of, that army's not going to advance very far. Say amen. Amen. It's not going to advance very far. If the food is not there, you look it up in history. Go back to all of the... If the food is not there and their feet aren't taken care of, the army is not going to advance very far. We have to have a firm footing. The Roman soldiers would have what we call cleats on the bottom of those shoes were, I mean, they knew. They had what they call cleats on the bottom, and they knew that when an opportunity presented itself, they had to be able to, kind of like me in my younger years. You know what I'm saying? They knew. They had to be able to make a move. I mean, them sandals, probably pretty slippery. But they had cleats on them. They knew when an opportunity, church, listen to me, they knew that when an opportunity presented itself that they could move. They had to have a firm footing under them. And any fighter would tell you, if you're going to fight in any kind of warfare and win, your footing is extremely important. Amen. Say amen. Your footing is extremely important. So what? We have what? What do we got? The shoes of peace. The gospel of peace. Your footing is very important in a war now. So we have the gospel of peace. We put on the peace of God. He's talking about in Galatians 5:1. Watch this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Amen. In the liberty which Christ has given you and made you free. Amen. Come on, somebody. He said, stand fast in the liberty. Don't go back. Don't go back to what he's already set you free from. Remember last week I said old sins start returning. Old things that you've already overcame start returning in your life when you're under spiritual. Stand fast in the freedom by which Christ has made you free. Thank Jesus for that freedom. Hallelujah. Stand fast in that liberty. Don't give up your liberty. Don't go back into things. Stand in the liberty that God has given you. We're not spiritual tumbleweeds where we just blow in and blow out and blow in. You stand hard and strong and fast in the freedom that God has given you. Amen. Get in a church. Get in a family. And you get in a marriage and you stand fast in that liberty which Christ has called you in. Amen. You know, the Greek hero in mythology was Achilles. He was a powerful, powerful warrior. Amen. But the thing that messed him up was his feet were exposed. Nobody could beat him. Nobody could take him out. He was a powerful, powerful warrior. And the enemy wounded him in his heel. Even though he was a brilliant fighter. None of them could beat him. No enemy could take him down. And one enemy saw that his walk was weak. Oh, that'll preach. Come on now. One enemy saw that his walk was weak. Amen. Saw his feet were exposed. And he lost the battle because he was wounded in his heel. And we all know the Achilles heel, right? I want you to listen to me. The enemy wants to get us off balance. The enemy wants to get us off balance. The enemy wants to mess up our peace. The enemy would love for you and I to lose the peace of God. Say amen. He wants us to lose the peace of God. Amen. The peace of God. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you, not the peace of the world. Come on, y'all. That is a promise from Jesus. Amen. A promise. He said, I will leave my peace. And the enemy wants us to move out of that peace of God. Say amen. You know, I was thinking about this, that we have to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. You ought to get up every single morning. You ought to get up every single morning and ask yourself, do I have the belt of truth on? Have I put on his righteousness this morning? Come on now. Do I have my feet shod with the gospel of peace? Amen. No matter what comes, I won't be shaken. Amen. Hallelujah. I get up. I put on the truth. I put on the breastplate. I shod my feet with peace. Amen. That way, no matter what the day brings, I will not be shaken. Amen. Come on, church. You know, the Lord spoke something to my heart. And the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you this morning. Relax. The gift is in you. Relax. Relax. The gift is in you. Do you know that? Just relax. Don't get all stressed out. Get up, no matter what you're facing, and put on the shoes of peace. And when you walk into that situation, just relax. The gift is already in you. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to be something you're not. Come on, somebody. You don't have to put yourself under stress and under strain. Just put on the shoes of peace. Get up in the morning and say, relax. I know I've got a big day today. I know I've got a big business deal today, but the gift is in me. I've prepared. I've put on the whole armor of God. God is with me, and I'm going to walk into that situation, and my gift will make room for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, relax. The gift is in you. Now turn to the other side and say, relax. The gift is in you. Quit stressing. Quit stressing. Quit worrying. Quit being filled with anxiety. Can I tell y'all something? As a public speaker, I've whispered that to myself on many occasions. Relax. Y'all freak me out. I'm not afraid of y'all's faces. But I have to tell myself that all the time. Relax. The gift is in you. Amen. Just relax. See, sometimes we get all stressed out about stuff, and we ought not be. We get all stressed out and worked out about stuff, and we just ought not be. Amen? It's all frazzled and stressed out. Relax. The gift is in you. Hallelujah. Amen. God has gifted you with his presence. God has gifted you with his anointing, with his favor, with his touch. Listen, if God wanted somebody else to be there, he put them there. He put you there. If God wanted somebody else to be doing what you're doing, he would put them there. I promise you. Relax. Relax. The gift is in you. Amen. If God wanted somebody else to do what he's called you to do, he'd have them doing it. Relax. The gift is in you. Hallelujah. Put on the shoes of peace. Walk in peace. Quit worrying. Somebody needs to hear this. Quit worrying. Quit having all this fear. Walk in peace. You know, that's spiritual combat. That's spiritual combat when y'all worried all the time. Am I going to run out? Am I not going to have enough? Am I going to do this? Oh, my, am I doing enough for the Lord? Am I doing enough for the Lord? That's spiritual combat. That is not God's will for your life. Put on his righteousness. Amen. Not your righteousness. Put on his truth. Put on the shoes of peace and walk in peace. Hallelujah. If that's all you get out of this sermon, that's what I want you to take home. Put on the armor of God. Walk in peace when you walk out of here this morning. Amen. Amen. Enjoy your life. Amen. Walk in peace and enjoy your life. So stressing about stuff all the time. Come on, somebody. Come on. Then he said this in verse 16. I'm moving. He said, take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. He said, I want you to take your faith. Look at this picture right here. This shield right here. He said, I want you to take the shield of faith. You know the Roman shield? It was, these shields right here would have been completely covered. They would have taken these shields and they would have completely covered them with animal skin and leather. Okay? They would have covered that brass with animal skin, with leather, and here's why. Before a battle, they would soak those in water. They would take those shields and soak them in water so that when they went out, have y'all ever seen the movie 300? You ever seen the movie 300? So when they went out into battle, they would take those shields and they would put up like this, right? And they would soak those in water. And when they were under an aerial attack with all the arrows coming, they would take those shields and they would form a unity defense. And they would all get together and they would stack them shields one on top of another. I was going to try to find a picture of it, but I hope y'all know what I'm talking about. They would take them shields and put them up one on top of another and then overlap them, and it would make like a dome. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They would make like a dome, so when they were under an aerial attack, they would put those shields up, and it would protect them from the fiery arrows or the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen? And the reason they covered it in leather and they soaked it in water was when those arrows would hit, they would instantly be extinguished. Can you imagine the agony and the pain? Seriously, if one of those arrows, I mean, you get shot with an arrow, it's going to hurt anyway. But if it's on fire and it hits you and it's on fire and now it's burning, and can I want to tell you this. Amen, it would hurt. Come on now. To me, listen, that speaks of the power of the shield of faith, okay? Because I want you to listen to me very carefully. Satan takes a bow and arrow approach. Come on now. Satan takes the bow and arrow approach in our life, and he'll stand back. He'll stand back from a distance. Come on, church. And then he accuses you day and night. He accuses you day and night, and then condemnation. And then shame, and then accusations, and then temptations, and then fiery thoughts. Come on now, thoughts just out of nowhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about, out of left field. Out of left field. These fiery thoughts, he's just shooting them. He takes the bow and arrow approach. He'll stand way back here, and he'll shoot these fiery arrows at you, and he just shoots them, and he just hopes that they catch fire. He just hopes that they catch on fire. He hopes that they'll find a place, and then they'll begin to just burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. But if you've got the shield of faith that's been soaked in the washing of the water of the word, come on, somebody, and then the enemy shoots those fiery darts at you. Amen. You can put your shield up. You hold it up. The enemy's shooting, and you're like, that's my sound effect, y'all. Just get a, come on, I'm working hard up here. Amen. You got the shield of faith. It just extinguishes the fiery thoughts of the enemies that tells you you're not worthy, that tells you you're not good enough, and he's accusing you, and he's attacking you, and he's shaming you. But we got the shield of faith that says, come on, baby, them ain't gonna stick. Come on now. That was way better than y'all letting on. We got the shield of faith. It extinguishes the fiery darts of the enemy. Come on, church. You got to protect your mind. You got to protect your thought life. Watch this. Romans 8:6 says this. To be carnally minded is death. You got to protect your thought life. You got to protect your mind. The enemy's shooting this stuff, those thoughts. Come on, how many of y'all get them crazy thoughts out of nowhere? Is it just me? You got to protect your thought life. He said to be carnally minded is what? Death. To be carnally minded is death. I want you to listen to me very carefully, church. If all you do and you get up every single day and you think about carnal things every single day of your life and you don't have your mind spiritually renewed, to be carnally minded is death. You don't just go all day. You wake up in the morning and you're Facebooking and you're TikToking and then you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing this and you're doing that, and nowhere in there is Jesus. You're carnally minded. You're carnally minded. And it says, if you're carnally minded, what? I'm glad three of you are paying attention. Praise the Lord. If you get up every single day and you do not have any type of Jesus in your life, you are carnally minded, church. And to be carnally minded is death. Amen. It brings death to your praise. It brings death to your joy. It brings death to your faith. It brings death to your hope. Brings death to your dreams. Come on, somebody. But when you're spiritually minded, it's to be filled with life. It's to be filled with thoughts of peace. It's to be filled with thoughts of joy. He said to be spiritually minded is... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. He shoots. Listen. He shoots those fiery darts. The Bible says to be spiritually minded is to be filled with life. Those thoughts of suicide, those thoughts of depression, those thoughts of quitting. Come on, somebody. He shoots those fiery darts at us. Luke 12:29 says this. It says, neither be of a doubtful mind. Look at that. Neither be of a doubtful mind. He comes to steal. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal your peace, steal your joy, and steal your confidence. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to say that again. He comes to steal, and he wants to steal three things. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You see that? The thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal your peace, he comes to steal your joy, and he comes to steal your confidence. And some of you don't have any peace. Some of you don't have any joy. Some of you don't have any confidence in your life. Amen. And it's because the enemy is a thief and he's robbing you. Come on, church. He comes to kill through sickness and through accidents. He comes to kill through sickness and through accidents. And he comes to destroy through depression, through fear, and through immorality. He can destroy your life. Amen. Depression, fear, and immorality. He will destroy your life. So what do we do? What do? We put on the whole armor of God. We put on the whole armor of God. And we hold up that shield of faith. And then he said in verse 17, I'm almost done. He said, and take the helmet of salvation. You know, it protects the mind from Satan's lies and deceptive thoughts. The helmet helps combat discouragement. Amen. The helmet helps combat the temptation to doubt our salvation. Come on. We stand firm in God's love. The helmet helps combat discouragement and the temptation to doubt our salvation. I thought I heard somebody say that one more time. We stand firm in God's love. We are saved by grace. We don't earn God's approval. Can I tell you, our salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It is settled. If you know Jesus, you know where you'll spend eternity. I said, if you know Jesus, you know where you'll spend eternity. The enemy wants you to doubt that. Put on the helmet of salvation. I want to share this with you real quick because a lot of y'all know my story. Most of y'all know my story. Some of you may not. I got COVID back in 2021. It was the Delta variant. It was the second strand of COVID that came through, and it was killing everybody. I got it. I was in the hospital for 7 days up in Kalamazoo. They put me on a ventilator and airlifted me to the University of Michigan. I was in the hospital in Michigan at U of M for 51 days, and I was on a ventilator for 25 days up there. And I'm telling you that because I know a lot of y'all, most of y'all know this, but when I was up in Kalamazoo before they airlifted me, and I want to tell you this, this helmet of salvation is so important because when you're knocking on death's door, I laid up there and they kept telling me, Jamie, you need to go on a ventilator, but if you go on a ventilator, you're probably not going to come off of it. It was a 98% fatality rate. You put 100 people in a line, 98 of them would die. So I kept telling them, I'm not going to go on it then. So I tried to fight it. 7 days. Tried to breathe for 7 days. Anyway, I remembered I had to make that decision. And I called my wife. I called my children. I told them I love them. I got to go on a ventilator and I hope I see you again. It was all I could do. And let me tell you something. The enemy started playing tricks with me immediately. I'm a pastor. I know I'm saved. I think I'm saved. Maybe not saved, heck, I don't know. But I want to tell you this, the enemy started playing with me really, really bad. And we're going to end with a song, y'all not leaving. I'm telling you this story, you're not leaving. The enemy started playing with me really bad, and I sat there. My wife come and they put me on the ventilator. She found my phone, and she got my phone, and I was reading Isaiah 43:2. And it said, when you go through the waters, you will not be drowned, and when you go through the fire, you will not be burned. That's what my phone was on when she grabbed my phone. I didn't know if I was ever going to see him again, but I'm telling you all this because I want to say this to you. I was questioning my salvation. I knew I was dying. And I said, God, is this real? I was scared. Not in a fearful scared. I want you to understand me. Is this real? I've sold out to this thing. Come on, church. I've sold out to this thing. And I promise you, when you're laying at death's door, if you don't have that helmet of salvation on, the enemy will mess with you. The enemy will mess with you. You know that you know that you know that you're saved. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. The enemy, I'm done. I'm going to move on because I got to finish this. But it was tough. But I knew, but I want you to understand me very clearly. The enemy will play with you if you don't know. Amen? Amen. Amen. Then he said this in verse 17. He said, take the helmet of salvation and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Amen. There's a guy in 2 Samuel chapter 23 named Eleazar. Y'all come on. These are my friends. These are my friends right here. We're going to jam out. Y'all all right with that? Can we end with a song? Listen, there's a guy, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. There's a guy in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Look it up. His name's Eleazar. He was one of David's mighty men. And he got in such a battle with the Philistines that he fought and he killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And the Bible says this. Look at this in 2 Samuel 23:10. It says that he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. And the Bible says that his hand was literally clave, stuck to the sword. Amen. Amen. That they literally had to pry. They had to pry his fingers off of the sword hours and hours and hours after the battle. The sword, which is the word of God, because it was an extension of his arm. They literally, like I said, had to pry and pry and pry his fingers off. That word and that sword became an extension of his natural life. Amen. That the two were so intertwined, his natural hand and the sword were so intertwined that they couldn't, it was just part of him. Come on, somebody. It was just part of him. They were so intertwined together, it became a part of his body. And they were inseparable. They weren't even able, like I said, to pry his hand off of it until hours after the battle. Oh my God, can we be a church and a generation of people that are so connected to the sword of the Spirit that it's just natural for us in this church? Come on, somebody. Can we be a church and a people who are so connected to the sword of the Spirit that it's just a natural extension of our arm, that when the problems come, that when the enemy comes, that when blessings come, it don't matter. It's just a part of our arm and a part of our extension. If you get into the sword of the Spirit, I promise you, it will liberate you. It will set you free. It'll be a firm foundation. Come on, somebody. It'll be a firm foundation in your life. Then anywhere you go, your answer and your weapon, just like Jesus Christ, it is written. It's the sword of the Spirit. That is part of you. No matter what you face, it is written. We don't allow the enemy to push us around and back us up. You pull out the sword. It's as natural for me to go to the scripture when problems arise. When problems come, this and me are inseparable. Come on, let's stand to our feet. We're going to worship Jesus for a few more minutes. I want you to read this book. It's inseparable. It's inseparable. Memorize it. Learn it. Learn it. It'll be a firm foundation in your life.